Welcome to the Trouble with the Snap podcast. I am Tyler Hayward with Jeremy Fye. Something happened yesterday that we're not typically accustomed to. In fact, it has never happened before in basketball. It's a lot on the heart. It's happened a lot on the football field. Not how it happened in basketball. A top five contest between Michigan and Ohio State. A lot on the line. Ohio State with a win would ultimately open up the Big Ten a little bit. They would, bringing Michigan down a little bit obviously opens things up for Ohio State and Illinois and, those teams that are in the hunt. That didn't happen. Jeremy thought it was going to be a close game. I kind of thought Michigan would dog walk OSU, I think was the phrase that I used. But look, ultimately the end result's the end result. Wins and losses are all that matters. Michigan got the win.
Yeah, they what a game. I mean, by the way, I mean, it was just fantastic. I actually was too busy to watch. I had some skill training going on. So I was like, I'm not talking to Tyler or our group or even looking at it. And thank goodness I didn't, but I didn't get a chance to actually rewatch it, Tyler, till later. But of course I just couldn't help myself. I wanted to check the score and I seen and then listen to the radio. But anyway, I wanted to watch the whole game and really see what happened. And Ohio State played so well. I mean, they hit shot after shot. Michigan came back, hit shot after shot. It was just a fantastic basketball game and just a huge win for Michigan. And you know, they just showed me a lot where they could compete. We knew we'd probably compete against anybody, maybe not named Gonzaga. Or, you know, I think they can still compete with Baylor, maybe not with the size. But I think Gonzaga is the all-around most gifted team, clearly. But I think what that game showed was they could score. They could flat out score the basketball. And it wasn't like, you know, they were playing against a team that isn't physical and athletic. Ohio State's very good. But I do think Ohio State proved in the Penn State game that they do give up a lot of points sometimes. But I don't want to deflect from the main thing is Michigan continues to surprise. And it's just a huge, huge win for Michigan basketball. And this will go a long ways, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it sets them up nicely, too, for the Big Ten Championship. I'm a DraftKings guy. You can bet, at this point, who's going to win each conference championship. I don't know if it was a glitch, what the deal was. Couldn't find the Big Ten yesterday. So I was looking for Michigan. Just one loss in conference at this point in the season. Now here's what I noticed is – It's kind of a weird situation. Hunter Dickinson gets the most praise out of anybody on this team. Hunter Dickinson never hits those shots. I think yesterday was Eli Brooks. Before that, it was Isaiah Livers. Those are the guys hitting the shots, which, we kind of expected. And Hunter Dickinson gets the most praise just for his consistent play. He's probably the best player on the team. I think you could make a case for Livers, but that is the situation right now. Dickinson still, as a freshman, knows his role when it's his time. And this is the most impressive part to me because he is their best player in my mind. He is one of their better scorers. He's an easy bucket if there's not a double coming. And at the end of games, he's the one who's getting these offensive rebounds in the close games. He's not trying to force anything. He kicks it back out. They run it through. And then it's Eli Brooks hitting the shot. Or it's Isaiah Livers hitting the shot. He always comes up with these offensive rebounds at the end of the games. And I think that's the most impressive part to me.
I think I agree to an extent on the statement he's their best player, but I also want to say I think he's their most important player. I don't know if he's the best all-around player they have. He's just definitely the most important. He's
right.
The guy that
right. Like I said, deal. You could make a case for Livers.
Yeah, I think guys like Livers and Wagner all around could be better at times, right? Because they could do a lot of different things. You know, Wagner can guard different positions, but there's no question who the most important player on that team is. And he just puts the game away. And, you know, his little up spin move in the dunk was like, goodness gracious, this kid is going to the league. And I was like, that's not what I want to see, because he's gone. I mean, after that play, you go, this guy has footwork now. He's quick. He gets to the rim. He can bang out on you. And you know, he's a great post passer. He's only had a couple games this year where he looked a little uncomfortable with the double. He had great kickout passes. That's the type of stuff that you know Joker has with Denver. It's such a threat now in this day and age of basketball to have a big guy that can make plays with the pass. He's gone. I mean, he is. If he stayed another year, I'd be shocked. I mean, he's. I think he's arguably in that top 20 for sure, first round. But he's inching closer to lottery when he plays that way. And with his size, and I think this draft's not going to be that good anyway. I've talked about this with the Detroit Pistons on the lab. You know, who do you get? I mean, this draft's not going to be great. So I think he could inch his way up more and more if they keep winning to a top 10 pick, you know, even a top five. So, I mean, this guy just continues to earn more praise, rightfully so. And he's the difference. He's the difference maker.
Yeah. And, I mean, it's kind of weird. You know, you talk about the great post passers and how important that is. It almost seems like we're going backwards. It's like, you know, 2 years ago we were in positionless basketball, and now you want a guy to throw it down low to, and now you want to have him be able to make, you know, those types of passes that Olajuwon would make out of the post and stuff like that. And he definitely brings that, you know, but, you know, all things are cyclical in sports, and, you know, this is just one of those things, is to have that dominant big man. And this isn't to discredit, you know, certain guys. You know, it took Smith a second to get going. You know, Washington was just pulling from anywhere he wanted to. You know, things like that were happening early on in the game. But look, this is, I'm gonna say, the second most complete team in the Big Ten. I don't know if they're the best, despite whatever the standings are. They could, you can win the Big Ten and still not be the best team. You know, that type of stuff happens from time to time, especially in tough conferences like this. But
I think Michigan State's proven that. I mean, you know, they've proven that multiple times.
Yeah, and I think that when you look at this, to me, Illinois is still the best team in the league. But at the same time,
Strongly disagree at this point. I mean, I hate to cut you off, but I think I was wrong. I mean, we talked about it. I never thought this would happen, but I think that Michigan, when they play their best, is by far the best team. I mean, I think we forgot how good and how experienced these guys were. I mean, I think we forgot about Livers. I think we forgot that Hunter Dickinson's a potential star. I think we forgot that Shaundre Brown and Mike Smith are fifth-year players. I mean, I think we didn't take it into that consideration. We just didn't know. We didn't know what to think.
Yeah, you, so you now don't know when what you happens look at a freshman who's going to be playing that key role, and then you get two fifth-year guys. But what I was saying is Michigan is right there. You know, I wasn't trying to completely blow them off the water.
Oh, no.
I think
you might be right as far as the best team doesn't always win. And I think that this would be the one year where, if you watch the whole thing, you know, we probably are wrong, because they are the best team. I mean, Illinois could make a run, though. I mean, Illinois is the one team when I look at it, I go, wow, they're so athletic. They got great guard play. They're big. They're athletic. Run more. Where I think Michigan, they just can't have a bad night, you know, but they haven't. You know, they have not had a bad night except for Minnesota. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's really impressive. And look, I mean, for my money, Juwan Howard's coach of the year. Because, I mean, you talked about, oh, well, they're so experienced. Yeah, they are, but they're not experienced together. You know, you have a freshman post player who's dominating. You have two fifth-year transfers that are in very pivotal roles, obviously. And obviously, like Livers and Brooks, those types of guys have been around the program for a minute, but you still, like playing my your two most important positions, I think, in the way that college basketball is turning out. You got to have a dominant big, and you got to have a point guard. Both of those guys are new, and Juwan Howard's killing it with that setup.
I think the development of each player just has to be noted. I think when you look at this team, what you're getting is you're getting every single guy at every part is playing his best basketball. So Eli Brooks played his best basketball last night. Mike Smith is playing his best basketball, where he doesn't have to score with this team. He can just make plays. You look at Isaiah Livers is hitting shots. Franz Wagner is hitting shots. Hunter Dickinson is controlling the paint. Shondre Brown comes in and gives you everything you need from a sixth man. I mean, this is the type of team when they play that way. That's a Final Four team. I mean, we said it earlier, you know, last month. Final Four team, if they play like that. You know how college basketball works, though. One bad game, you're out. So I don't think that they're a national –
Middle Tennessee.
I don't think this is a national championship team still, because I do think that once they play against somebody who can match up with that depth, like Gonzaga – or a Baylor, or you run into a team in the tournament like, you know, West Virginia, who's super athletic, has all the pieces. You know, I don't know if they're good enough yet.
Shoot
but
the lights out.
Yeah, I think.
When they're on.
The one thing that yesterday proved, this team can score. And I think that was huge. That was huge for me because I felt like that shows they can play anyway. They can play a scoring high-tempo game. They could play physical basketball and out-rebound you. And they can play team ball. They can play slow. They can play fast. They got all the pieces. And it's, I think they're going to make the Final Four. I really do. I think there's too much confidence. And I think that it's just such a perfect fit for Juwan that this year is the year to do it. But, yeah, strange things happen. And we never know. I do think it's the best team in the Big Ten, though. I really do.
Yeah. And, well, let me rephrase that. Let me kind of backpedal a little bit. I think that, okay, you win the Big Ten, you know, you're the best. The strength of schedule can play into it a little bit. If you want to get, like, super into it, go ahead. Michigan's the best team in the Big Ten because they're going to win the Big Ten, okay? But Illinois, to me, I think has the most potential for a run. Let me just put it like that. I think Michigan's still in the Elite 18. I think they can still make the Final Four. But to me, I think that Illinois is the one team that has an opportunity to win the whole freaking thing in the Big Ten right now.
Yeah, I you know, it's just so hard. I don't want to have a debate show with you, but I will say this. Illinois had a lot of problems this year in some areas where they just go, you know, they just disappear. And I think a lot of that, you know, if you compare both teams, everything that they do well, Michigan can combat. You know, they can combat the post president because they have Hunter now. They have Davis, who has played great off the
bench. Michigan's that MMA fighter. You know, you want to strike, he can strike. You want to grapple, he can grab you. Grapple, you know, you want to be on the ground, he can put you on the ground. Michigan is that fighter. They have a little bit of everything.
They do, and I think they're just all around better than everyone else right now. I think Iowa's just not as athletic as Michigan. I think Iowa has got – they combat the size, because Garza.
And their defense sucks.
Yeah, and their cohesiveness is still there. But I think it's proving that the three teams that should make the biggest run are Michigan, Illinois, and Iowa. And I thought Iowa and Illinois –
Ohio
Illinois,
State, you mean?
You know, I don't know, man. They got to defend better. I mean, you can't
well,
give up.
Iowa's got to defend better.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa does too. I think what happens with Ohio State, if you watch them a little bit this year, they have to shoot well to win. And they were lights out last night, yesterday. And, you know, the post presence is there, but it's not there like Illinois and Iowa. You know, and I just don't – I don't know. I think it's a good team, very good team. I mean, they are very hard to stop. They got guard play. They you know, Liddell, I think that's how you say it. He's a great forward. I mean, he really crushed Michigan at times. Washington is an amazing guard. And the lefty, I always forget his name. He is so good as a mid-range. And I always forget his name, but I know he was a transfer. I think it's not Young. I always look at him and Rutgers guard Young. They're kind of the same player. But Ohio State – no, Arns, you know, look, they got the pieces. They're not – that's a team that definitely could make a run. But yeah. I just think Illinois Michigan and Iowa are a little more complete for a run. But Iowa, you're right, though. They have to defend better. They can't just, give up points after points after points. So we'll see. I mean, right now, it's
They're as dominant of a team offensively as you could possibly be. You got the big guy. You've got shooters left and right. You're not freakishly athletic, like the game's kind of evolved to, but you're athletic enough to get out and run. But they
Sure.
can't stop anybody. And I think
No.
that obviously that's going to be their problem. And that I think Ohio State's got some of that ability. They're not as, clear shooters, or Liddell's as good as he is. He's not Garza. And so I think to me, Ohio State's at 13. But yeah, let's turn our attention a little bit to Michigan State, who needed a win. All right. I said it was a must-win week after beating Indiana, and then after looking at some of the lineups that were used in that game, I'm starting to think the tournament's not completely out of the question. Andy Katz said the other day, 4-2, and then obviously you have to avoid the upset in the Big Ten tournament. If you struggle with and lose to Michigan in the Big Ten tournament or something like that, obviously you can live with that. Like I've been saying for the past couple weeks, losses to those highly ranked teams, they don't kill you.
Right.
But you every game is an opportunity at this point because the Big Ten is absolutely stacked. Now, one of these lineups, this lineup that was used at the end of the game, was something that our old assistant coach actually talked to me about. Our old assistant coach back in high school. He said he wants to see Gabe Brown out there with Aaron Henry, with Josh Langford, with Rocket, and a center to be named later.
Sure.
That was the lineup. That was the lineup. It took Joey Hauser out of the game, which I was a huge fan of. But Rocket has to be the point guard. Henry can be a four against smaller teams. It will not work against Illinois on Tuesday. It would not work against a Davis and Dickinson lineup at U of M. But it might work because Wagner's technically playing like a stretch four position. It might work to start off the Michigan games. That is the lineup that you have to use. And I'm white, but I'm going to go ahead and say this: Michigan State can't play the white players. Joey Hauser is not good. Foster Lawyer has not played great lately. He's not as bad as he's been, but when you see Rocket do, what he did against Duke, running point, and what he did last night, or what he did the other day against Indiana, playing point, that is the lineup you've got to use. Although, I will say credit to Thomas Kithier. He played very well against Indiana.
Yeah, no, all the things you said about that lineup, look, the first thing that came to my thought process was that lineup will cause problems against anybody in this conference. That lineup could cause problems in the tournament if they get there. I love the lineup. I'm a huge Mark fan. Mark Rocket Watts. I thought he finally played to his capability at times. I thought Gabe and Aaron in the wings, really, I would say more 3-4 position. And you got they had Mark. Yeah, Langford, it would be your guard. Yeah, so, Watts, Langford, and then Brown Henry kind of playing 3-4 with a big is a great lineup for them. It's their best lineup. There's no question.
Right.
It gives you the best defensive capability, gives you the most athleticism, gives you the most scoring capability. It's a no-brainer. There's no tinkering. You got to know who that is. That's your lineup. If Bingham's not playing well, if it's Thomas, if it's Marble, who cares? Center by committee, sure, no question.
Been playing incredibly well.
He's been playing well. Look, the five by committee and then the other four, those are your guys. I mean, you have to run with your best players, your most athletic players. I liked it. And I'll tell you what, as a Michigan fan, that lineup scares me. I mean, that lineup makes me go, ooh, they all can match up well with what Michigan has. That's Watts on Smith. That's a 50-50 coin flip. And, Langford on, one of the guards, Eli Brooks. Yeah, that's a coin
probably.
flip, man. Yeah, you know, that's a coin flip. Aaron Henry and Franz, coin flip, no question. And you know, Gabe, you know, and Livers, that, you know, the Wagner Livers with Brown and Henry, that's a coin flip to me. And then inside, you know, yeah, Michigan might have the advantage, but you know, I'll tell you what, that's the first thought I had, Tyler, was that Michigan State lineup scares me. And for the State fans, though, it's exciting. You got to run with those guys.
Yeah, and I mean, my only problem with that lineup is typically what happens when there's mismatches in those situations, because Illinois's got two bigs. Michigan, you said it, runs Davis. They don't do it a lot, but they can put Davis and Dickinson out there at the same time. Though, when you see those types of lineups, because Michigan State's going to play against one of those lineups on Tuesday, when you see those types of lineups, those are the lineups where the team that usually plays small ball tries to be the one that adjusts. But you cannot tell me that you can't stick that. Oh, I'm trying to remember what his name is for Illinois. Not Coburn, it's their other big. I keep wanting to say Skittish Beely, but I keep thinking of the old small forward shooting guard for the Denver Nuggets. But
yeah, no, you know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, sure. He's a quality player. Like, he would dominate Gabe Brown inside. He would dominate Aaron Henry inside. Even though Aaron Henry needs, for my money, the best post three player, the best post small forward in the country. And sometimes you can get away with that, like you did against Thompson at Indiana. But he would dominate Henry. He would dominate Brown. But at the same time, he wouldn't be able to guard either one of them.
No,
and,
no.
But typically you see the small team try to play up, and I think that's going to end up being the case when you look at Michigan State, who has a billion fives to throw out there.
When you look at that Indiana game, I'll tell you, Tyler, I mean, when you look at the run they went on with that group, and that's a huge momentum swing if they continue to push that. You got to play those guys, you know, those four, you got to play 6, 8, 10 minutes in a row together and just see if you can go on a 12-2 run, a 14-4 run. I tell you what, man, I know that I'm getting ahead of myself, but when I look at the Big Ten championship, Michigan State, you go through them if you're Michigan. You got the back-to-backs. I think Illinois will beat Michigan. And I just think they will. I think it'll be one of those games where you got to drop one, right? You're not going to just roll through and beat everybody. You're going to lose one still. It will happen.
Probably.
Michigan State could play spoiler in this Michigan Big Ten championship, which would be the best thing ever for Michigan State. Plus, it plays you into the tournament. So if they can somehow – I gave you the list of games they had to win. You got to beat Maryland. You got to sweep Indiana. And if you can split with Michigan and maybe even shock Illinois, you're in. You are in.
Well, and, well, like I said, you Andy Katz said 4-2.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. The next six, you got to win four of them. So – if they do that, they're in. And you got to win a tournament game still, I think. But
if you get matched up against a Nebraska or a Northwestern, you have to go out there and you have to win that game. You can't just fall victim to them. You can to a Wisconsin. You can to Iowa. You can to Michigan. You can to Illinois. You can to Ohio State. Those teams are ranked so high, a loss, like I said, will not kill you. But you have to do enough to sit there and put that dividing line in the sand, saying, telling the NCAA tournament, you're taking this many teams. If you're taking nine teams, we're number nine or we're number eight. You have to draw that line in the sand right now, and you have to be better.
Let me ask you this.
Have to be better.
Yeah, let me ask you. So they got Indiana, Maryland, right? Then they got Ohio State, and then they got Illinois and Michigan twice, right? That's what you have
right.
left.
Right.
So I know that I've learned my lesson from football. How about that? Where I thought Michigan was just going to beat the snot out of Michigan State. I thought you guys sucked. I'm going to deflect from that because I know what happens in that rivalry one. But two, it's a good matchup. I think they split with Michigan for sure because of rivalry and because I think they match up very well against Michigan.
Here's something else to look at. Michigan State has Indiana 2 days before the first game of that rivalry. Michigan has Illinois. And not to say one's easier than the other, because right now – Illinois, like I said, is about to Michigan's level. Indiana's about at Michigan State's level because that game wasn't, you know, a runaway game by any stretch of the imagination.
No, they were getting pounded at the beginning because they had the wrong guys in, you know, Hauser and Malik. Malik was terrible at the beginning of the game,
Yeah.
and you know, Hauser wasn't any better. But I will say this, that it's going to come down to that. Shockingly and amazingly and fun for us on this show, it's going to come down to the Michigan rivalry, because they cannot get swept in that. And I'll tell you what, man, I'm an honest guy. I can see Michigan State beating them twice. I just can't. I mean, that rivalry brings out the best and worst in people sometimes. And I just think that they
and
match
you get
up
the
well
best
with
and
Tom.
worst from Tom Izzo in the rivalry.
You have to, you know, you have to play the right guys, though. I mean, you just can't tinker. Because if you're going to play against the best teams or the most athletic teams, and there's a lot of athletic teams in the Big Ten, Indiana's very athletic. You got to play your athletes, because you can't match up with Malik Hall and Joey Hauser in that game. You can't match up with Michigan with those two guys. I mean, you could put them in and maybe Hauser hits some threes, right? Spot minutes. But you can't beat those teams unless you play your top four with center by committee. And I just hope, for Michigan State's fans' sake, they do that.
Yeah, and I think that that's something that obviously we'll need to see if it happens. You know, that's one of the things is, you know, that was the lineup that people have kind of been clamoring for. You've got to play your best players. Do they have to start the game? No. Do they have to finish the game? Probably not, depending on matchups. But they have to at least play together for like you said, 10, 15 minutes a game.
That absolutely. I mean, I would – at this point in crunch time, you're even leaning towards half the game. You're getting closer to 20 minutes because, you know, Mark's just more talented in what they have. AJ's a very good team leader, floor leader, just doesn't shoot well and lacks a little bit of ball pressure. And then Foster's hurt and just can't do it. So you roll with Mark and you say, hey, man, play your best, make the right decisions, and let's see if we can roll with this lineup. But I was very impressed with Michigan State in that win, very.
One of my concerns, and the reason why I think you're going to see the point guard shuffled a little bit more, and whether or not that's, you know, benching Watts for Hall in that lineup, so Langford's running point because he has run point a little bit, and the teams looked okay during that time. You know, you run Langford, you run Brown, you run Henry, Hall, and then, like we said, center to be named later, depending who's playing best, might be Sissoko. You run that group out there. You know, that could work too, because Watts, look, as much as everybody's making out of that, look, he was still really slow closing out. When you play a shooting point guard, like you're going to get Frazier on Tuesday, you got to close out a lot quicker than what he was doing.
Has lapses, you know, he has lapses where we see it in Maryland last year, right? Kind of gets complacent. You know, he's great with ball pressure. He's athletic. Yeah, he gets complacent.
Collin. For 38 minutes.
Gets complacent, and that's the young kid, a sophomore only. You know, and I think we forget sometimes he's only a sophomore. But I'll tell you, man, I just think 4 out of 6, win at least one game in the Big Ten tournament you're in. And now you're at, what, 16 wins. If you win only the one, that's huge. And I don't – you know, this team, this program is just known to do this stuff, not at the – level like this where they really struggle, but they start clicking, and if they can put two wins together, two big wins,
that's
look
seen
out,
from Boulder,
because that's,
and that's called a winning streak.
Exactly. I mean, when's the last time this team has done that where they beat two consecutive good opponents? I mean, Duke isn't good. I mean, they shocked Virginia, which shocked me.
Which,
but
let me ask you something about that. Because we kind of know the point you're trying to make here. Let me just ask you something about that. Duke beat Virginia, and that does that help or hurt Michigan State? Because yes, it increases Duke's it builds up Duke's resume, but at the same time, that's another team that you got to look out for. Or does that win at Cameron Indoor kind of just place Duke behind Michigan State regardless?
I think they're dead even, and I think they're just program names, so if they just keep winning some games, they'll be in. I mean, I don't think it hurts or helps either. I mean, Duke's Duke, Michigan State's Michigan State. I mean, people still expect Duke to be hard to beat. It's just how it is. People still expect Michigan State to be good. So I think they just got to do their part. I mean, both teams. I think Duke's win against Virginia was huge. Huge win for them. does nothing to Michigan State. I think it does maybe make them look good in a way, but really it's both teams got to put together win streaks.
Yes.
And a huge one is tomorrow. You beat Illinois. They're at home, right?
I don't remember where they're at.
Yeah, I think they're on the road, actually. Michigan's at home against Illinois, which is a huge advantage. But, you know, I look, both teams are the same, Duke and Michigan State. They have the capability of being really good. They have just not been. But when they play the way they are supposed to, yeah, you can't just go in there and think you're going to beat them. I mean, you got to actually go out there and play really well. And, you know, I was excited to see Duke beat Virginia, actually, believe it or not, even though I don't like them. Because, of course, yeah, it does make Michigan State look a little better. But,
I put money on the other house.
Yeah, I was watching him. My first thought was, oh, gosh, is he going to turn it over? Oh, he didn't turn it over. He's better. You know, I mean, he took a couple of weird shots, which, you know, at least he didn't turn the ball over. But, yeah,
all right,
that's just been
brutal. All right, so let's break this down. I'm going to ask, you know, both teams play ranked opponents, Michigan against Iowa. On Thursday, who you got?
I think they'll beat Iowa. I think they match up well. I think that they're a little faster, and I think they have enough post presence to give Garza a problem, especially with Dickinson
right.
and Davis. I think they win. You know, I think that they're a better team, and I think that their athleticism exceeds them a little bit. They play faster. If they do that matchup zone, Michigan's got too many shooters. I mean, they just do. Mike Smith can hit. Brown can hit. Livers can hit. Wagner can hit at times. Brooks was on fire last night, and he played so well. But, yeah, I think they win against Iowa.
All right, Michigan State, Illinois.
I think Illinois is just all around better.
Yeah.
You know, I think they cause problems with the matchup. Like you said, the bigs.
Yeah.
I think their bigs will hurt them. And, you know, I think their guard play is still good enough to be really tough to stop. They got great guard play. So I think Illinois wins that one.
This is going to be interesting. Aaron Henry knows what he's up against in Ayo Dosunmu. I think we all remember that scare last year Dosunmu took going up for that last second shot when he hurt his leg. You know, we thought the season was over for him.
Yeah.
Look, as much as I've been talking up Illinois on this episode, you know, I feel like Michigan State matches up okay. You know, Watts can guard Frazier, you know, if he's locked in. Henry can guard Dosunmu if he's locked in. And it's a if they do it type situation. You know, Michigan State's got bodies to throw for days at the big combo down low, but I don't know. I mean, Illinois is obviously the more talented team, so that's where you got to go. It is in East Lansing, by the way. In regards to the Iowa game, I take defense over offense all day, so I'm taking Michigan over Iowa.
I think that's at home for Michigan.
I think you're backwards today. I'm not 100% sure about that one. I did double check the Michigan.
We'll have to get on the.
But yeah, I'm going with Illinois and I'm going with Michigan as well. Obviously, you know, Michigan State wins. All of a sudden, you're talking about a tournament team if they hold true to form throughout the rest of the season. I'm going to ask you this, and we'll end it on this. It's the same question that we kind of go over every time. Jeremy, do you think Michigan State can make the tournament now? Did this win give you just that little bit of hope? Or are those two Purdue losses, which are going to be the difference maker if they do not get in, are those two losses too much?
I don't think they'll make it. I think there's just too much inconsistency still. And look, I won't. The only time I'll change that is at the end of the season they win 4 out of 6, and I say, okay, they did what they were supposed to do. But right now, until they do, no, I don't think they have the capability to do it. You know, you beat Illinois, that changes things. You're like, okay, they're 12-9. You know, then they're going to beat Indiana again, I believe. And then,
Maryland.
They got to split those rest of those games. Yeah, I mean, now you're talking 13, 14 wins. You know, they're in a tough conference. And they did beat in Illinois, a ranked, very highly ranked team. You split Michigan, who's a top 14. Huge win. Yeah, you got to win 4 out of 6. If they split those, no. I mean, it's even 3-3 won't go to get them in.
You're
at this
3-3,
point.
And then maybe an upset or two in the Big Ten tournament. you know, because
Yeah, if they win the tournament or get all the way to the finals, yeah, that's a different story, you
And
know.
I think that that's the one thing people are forgetting, you know. Andy Katz at 4-2, and it's like, well, Michigan State goes 3-3, and then, you know, I mean, you're going to get those opportunities to pick up those wins again in the Big Ten tournament. You're going to play. If you win one or two games, you're going to play, you know, a Sweet 16, Elite 18, and you'll play a Ohio State, Michigan, Iowa, Illinois, whoever. So I think that that opportunity is still out there at 3-3, but 4-2, obviously, I think would seal the deal for Michigan State. But that doesn't. Oh,
Let me
okay.
add this real quick. Let me add this real quick before we go. If let's not forget, Tom Izzo made a great statement. I think it was last week. We just got to play one game at a time. We know how good this program does when they play that way. When it's one game, we got to play well at the right time of the year, which, look, I know a lot of State fans have been angry and they deserve to be, but don't forget what this program does when it's one game. We got to fight, we got to prepare, we got to win it. And I'll tell you what, man, don't be surprised if Michigan State does win like three, four, five games in a row. It's just who they are. I mean, they've proven it all time and
Yeah,
time
and
again.
I mean, you're talking about a great Tom Izzo quote. There's a similar difference. There's a similarity here from a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, Kenny Goins said something. He said, "We got nut up and play." And Michigan State went on a Final Four run. I'm not saying they're going to go on a Final Four run, but Aaron Henry had a pretty great quote himself when he said, "We got to strap our nuts on and play." I think it's
Yeah.
similar. It's obviously similar. I don't, like I said, I don't think it means, oh, well, he made a nut reference on national TV, you know, that means that Michigan State's going to the Final Four. No, that's not how that works. But, you know, when you have players echoing the same sentiment, albeit different vocabulary than the coach, I think it's a good indicator for the program. That's all I'm saying.
Just cannot count out a Tom Izzo Michigan State team. You just can't. Until they don't make it, you cannot
Yeah,
count them
and I
out.
mean, even then, I think it'd be hard to count them out, even, you know, next year when you look at it, even though they're going to be very freshman reliant with or without Amone Bates. But look, right now, look, Michigan State's still fighting for this year, and they proved that against Indiana, Michigan, obviously, placing their flag on top of the Big Ten Mountain. They should be the Big Ten champions this year. But look, there's still a little bit of season left. Michigan's got some tough games. Michigan State's got some tough games. Both of them, their next game's incredibly difficult. Michigan State plays Illinois, Michigan against Iowa. We'll obviously cover that plus whatever else they got going on because I know Michigan State's going to have two games before our next show, probably. And then Michigan, I think they play on Sunday. I'm not 100% sure. But we.
Yeah. I want Michigan State to beat Illinois because I still don't have faith in them winning a regular season title, and that would make it much easier for us to do that. So go Green.
And there's a look that if a 30-point loss to Rutgers and everything else wasn't the nail in the coffin, Jeremy Roehm for Michigan State I think kind of is, but that does
Definitely.
it for us here today. We'll recap both games from both teams, and we'll do the same thing that we've been doing the last couple of weeks. Evaluate Michigan State's tournament chances and evaluate Michigan's shot to make a deep run. And we'll break those down a little bit more in depth, like I said, next Monday. But that does it for us today. For Jamie Fowler, I'm Tyler Hayward. This was the Trouble with Snap podcast.